Go ahead. Well, let's catch everybody up. Robots are taking over. They're taking everybody's jobs for anybody who's missed it. And they will eventually be our caregivers. And we will be.
I like your point that, you know, it's like dogs invented us to take care of them. I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah, right. The domestication of humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked. Right? This is the next phase in that. And the thing is that we don't like to come to terms with, that we have yet to accept as a species, is that we're a passing phase. We understand this in science fiction, right? But there's just going to be the next generation of humans aren't going to be Homo sapiens like us. They're not going to be, they'll look like us mostly, but they'll have genetically engineered immune systems. You know, they'll be able to, eventually they'll be able to change their height, their gender, their skin color, their appearance at will, just like we do with a computer avatar. They'll do that to their body. DNA is just a 4-base binary code, and computers are great with binary. And so we're binary. The irony is we program the computers today. 10 years from now, they'll program us.
So we got 10 years. That's what you think?
Who knows? It really is up to how fast we adopt. The technology is moving faster than we can adopt it. Right now,
live longer that way, though.
We definitely will.
With more ability to manipulate my DNA, it takes care of, you know, maybe some of the breakdown.
Yeah, the telomeres on the end will be fused. You have little nanobots in your body. You'll have your wristwatch with your AI. And
you just send a message out, I need cleanup on extremity two, cleanup on extremity two.
It'll take care of itself. But your watch will be there and your AI will come on and say, you're showing symptoms of a heart attack. I've alerted the authorities. Stay calm, have a drink of water. The help is on the way.
And when reality, they're in Texas and they discovered VPNs, and that's just why they got so excited. It has nothing to do
with
that.
Right, exactly. No. but it's a fundamental shift. It's going to be part of everything. We talked about earlier AI companionship. People will have more friends that are AIs than people, because AIs are better at dealing with people than people are. They don't get emotional back at you. They don't get mad at you. You can say whatever you want to the AI, and it's still going to talk to you, and it's still going to do whatever it was programmed to do.
I feel like our behavior as humans, Mike, took a dip during the pandemic. We got less tolerant. It became we were more the main character as we came out of the pandemic. And you can see it with road rage on the rise. You can just see it with the way that we interact with each other a lot of times too. So now what I hear you saying is with robots and the AI, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. For us,
we could just abuse the hell out. I think there's a paper. I'll put the link in the chat because we're live now, but I'll put the link in the chat for people. There was a study about how abusive people are to their home automation systems. So if you're talking about caregivers and whatever becoming our, you know, if that's our future state, you're talking about a significantly abusive species having a caregiver that just doesn't care if they hate it or not.
Yeah. Well, what does that say about us? I don't know.
100% about us.
Yeah, it's human.
It's been about us since we got here on this planet.
That's why we're bad at running a planet, right? We think the whole planet's about us. We've made the planet about us. And we've ignored all the other intelligences that inhabit this world. You don't think the whales are intelligent? You don't think the elephants are intelligent? You don't think they talk to each other? You don't think they're pissed at us?
Me, they'll grow legs and come on up to a meet.
Actually, they had legs. They grew fins and went back into the water because they got sick of us. They're like, we're out of here. You guys take the land. Fuck it. You know, you guys are.
Clearly, we used to call this science fiction, and now we just say, call it tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but that was the idea all along. Like the expert I follow an AI, he's like, this was actually what we should have been doing all along. Instead of trying to solve every individual problem, we should have been building something that solves all our problems, which is what a super intelligence is. And he's like, that's the game. You know, the Library of Alexandria was an attempt to master all the information of the world. And
then we burned
it. This has been an old game, because people didn't have access. OpenAI, right? Like, lesson from history. now a public library is one of the safest places in the world, right? Why? Because it's a public library. There's the key. Nobody's going to burn down a library today. If you burn down a library today, you're just a jerk. Like,
you might be missing
the headline. I beg to differ with you. There's in varying states, they are ripping the books out of the library.
Good, good, good. Because they don't exist online, right? Burn. This is what I'm saying. They're prepared for the last war. Burn all the books you want. Like, have you heard of Amazon? Have you heard of Audible? What are you going to do?
Man, on that note, are we ready?
I don't know. Are we ready to end times?
It is.
Oh, man. Okay, we're going. Are we ready to go? Let's go. Let's go. All right.
Welcome to the CXR Channel, our premier podcast for talent acquisition and talent management. Listen in as the CXR community discusses a wide range of topics focused on attracting, engaging, and retaining the best talent. We're glad you're here.
All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Recruiting Community Podcast, where you're getting weekly updates and insights from somewhere in the industry in the form of a conversation. Nobody, full disclosure, nobody on this show is a robot yet. So full disclosure, so you know what you're dealing with today. I am your host today. I am Phineas. I want to welcome my co-host today, Ferb. Good day to you, Ferb.
Phineas.
I got a note the other day, Jerry, where someone said, I dial in halfway just to hear what you guys get introduced at. And I wasn't sure how I felt about that.
But. You've got to be running out of them, though.
No. Do this all day. No.
There's a lot of those?
All day. I was a child of the 80s. I grew up in front of a TV, like a latchkey kid. I'm all day. I got all day.
God bless you.
I'm looking forward to it. I know you are, too. And if you joined us for sort of the pre-show, a little bit, a chat out of the green room, we got Mike Wolford here today. He is author of, here it is. I got all these books up here. Author of The AI Recruiter. He's not here to hawk his book, but I think we ought to talk about it. But he's also got articles out there like 6 ways to use ChatGPT-4 for recruiting. We're going to dig into the future of AI and talent acquisition, specifically, I think, how AI sort of changed the world so far, where we're at so far, and kind of what's new in our space and what we can look forward to. Now, a couple of things before we pull Mike back in. We are streaming on social channels, lots of them, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, I think Instagram, the Twitch, maybe the TikTok, I don't know. I made this joke last time. We're talking about Blue Sky as that platform sort of matures. So we're hoping to do some streaming on there as well. No matter how you cut it, though, you're going to find us on cxr.works/podcast, and that's where you can see past and future episodes. If you are with us live on LinkedIn where we're streaming, and there's a little chat window in there, we'd encourage you to ask some questions of Mike today or Jerry and myself, or just say hello to each other. Or if you already have robots taking over and walking you every morning and feeding you and rubbing your belly. So with all of that, I want to remind everybody too, this is an ad-free labor of love. So nobody's paid anything to be here. There's no quid pro quo. But we do have a little bit of housekeeping. And the one I really want to call out, and we've done on the last couple shows, we'll continue to do it throughout the year. You're going to see a little QR code in the bottom corner of your screen if you're watching us. Jerry, what is that QR code for?
I think it's for our foundation.
You would be correct.
Our nonprofit. How good is that?
Yeah, we have a wonderful nonprofit. I think we raised last year, we raised almost $34,000, and all of that goes into programs that we're working on, scholarships that we've got. No board members are paid or compensated in any way, but we have the CXR Inspire Scholarship, the Russ Mountain Scholarship. We did a mentoring platform with TA Talk Tank. We have the History of Recruiting, which is a really fun project. And Jerry, I just worked to migrate all of that stuff over to the new platform that we're in. And there's just so much, I forgot how much good stuff is in that. So that's a lot of fun. People should check that out. We are working on a diverse suppliers directory. That has been a project in the making for a little bit over a year. So we're excited to start putting a little muscle behind that. That's going to highlight and promote diversity owned vendors within our TA industry, within the recruiting industry. And then we've got CXR Cares. And this is where we've got TA leaders and practitioners helping local communities and job seekers. And I think we're recording some video. We're doing a little video production in partnership with Dress for Success when we're out in Denver at the DISH headquarters soon. And then, Jerry, we have a board seat open. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. We obviously are very interested in making sure that there's a diversity of talent looking at the things that we can be doing to make a difference. And I, you know, it's this whole issue is about community. And the fact is, if you're going to walk the talk, you need to be able to think through how we can add value, not just to the businesses that we run, but the community that we live in and the industry and profession that we are part of. So that's really what it's all about. If you're into it, please get in touch with Chris or myself. We love to have a conversation.
Yeah, and if you're watching on the screen, the little QR code there is to do donations, but you can obviously click around. If you want to learn more about it, reach out to either of us. We're happy to connect with you. With all of that being said, let's welcome back Mike. There he goes. Mike, we're going to put you in the big window. Ooh. There we go. How's that? There we go. All right. So, Mike, you're currently VP of AI and Analytics at Claro Analytics today. So why don't you give us kind of an escalator pitch of who's Mike and why should we be paying attention to what Mike has to say?
Well, I came up through the industry. I was an agency recruiter to start. I've been a recruiter. I've been a sourcer. I've been a recruiting manager. I was the sourcing manager at Twitter. And now I do analytics and I look at labor market, which is kind of the next piece for us from a data perspective. One of the reasons why I think we're in such trouble is we haven't paid attention to the data and we haven't brought the data to the room. I wrote a book called The AI Recruiter. I've been a writer for Recruiting Daily and SourceCon for a number of years. That's a little bit about me. And at Claro, we just built our AI analyst. So this is kind of the point I think that I keep seeing with AI over and over again is once you've got it aligned to a task and it knows how to do it, it can do it very well and it can do it very fast. Our analyst can put together a 12, 14 page McKinsey style report in less than 2 minutes. And there's just no human being that is that fast. And this is what I'm trying to talk about.
So what I hear you saying is it's likely Josh Berson is a robot.
Yeah, definitely. I think John Kidder is too, the man that writes so much. Every 4 minutes, he's got another book out, you know?
Yeah, he just pull his arm down.
Right. Out comes the book.
Yes.
Now, there's some people who are Asimov talented like that, but I am not one of them. It took me a year to write my first two books, which were substantially shorter than the third one. The AI Recruiter is over 380 pages long. And it took me just over 2 weeks to write with the AI. And in the book are all the prompts that I use to create the content. So it's copy paste.
And I do have it. I held it up a little bit earlier. This is not to hawk your book. There is we've got a URL on the screen. You can obviously look it up on the Amazon if you want to get it, the AI Recruiter. This is not a small book and the font is not big. Like there's a lot, it's a meaty, meaty book.
Yeah. I look at it as a prompt directory. I really think that it's a great resource to be able to look up some aspect of what I might be doing as a recruiter and consider some of the issues and prompts that you'd have to deal with in having a conversation with AI or an AI tool so that you're improving what you're doing and speeding that up.
Yeah. The idea is to replace work, not to just do something else, right? You want this work gone. And that's kind of where we've been. We've been at transitioning our work to automation with our fingers typing, which is too slow. You know, the next generation of AI you're going to talk to, it's very close. I anticipate by the summer, we'll start to have regular audio engagement with the AI. That'll be much, much faster than the way we're doing it right now. And prompt engineering is going to turn into a field more for customization of tools. So right now, people are kind of using OpenAI and different chats, and they're writing emails with it and LinkedIn posts. They're doing a few administrative tasks with it, but they basically have to start from scratch every time. Tell it how to perform, tell it what they want. That's kind of version one, where people are getting used to it and adopting. What we're seeing now, especially with the OpenAI, OpenGPT store, so people like me can code and build these things, you're now going to see a set of custom tools. And you see that in our industry already. AI-powered CRM systems, AI-powered ATS systems, automated phone screeners.
Well, let's jump into that really quickly. So let's talk about that impact. So based on the research and multiple books and your own experience, how, Mike, would you sort of summarize the impact of AI specifically on our industry, on the recruiting industry? Is there a specific example?
It's going to make us better, faster, cheaper. Sure, I'll give you an example. The candidate black hole. We love talking about candidate experience.
Yep.
It's one of our favorite topics. And it stinks at the application phase, right? And it's because more people apply than we could possibly talk to. And AI can solve that problem for us. You can have an AI phone screener do a phone interview, a very basic one, ask basically the same questions in the same order, which is fair, and then match that phone screen and that interview and the resume to the job, and then give a match percentage. You don't want to rank. That's going to be really risky. But the positive side from a candidate experience thing is everybody who wants a chance to interview gets one. Human beings just can't have conversations with as many people as apply. They can't talk to, even if they could, they wouldn't. They'd look at some resumes and say, this isn't worth my time. So even if they physically had the time to talk to everybody, they wouldn't. Whereas an AI will talk to everybody who wants a chance. That is a much better world. And for fairness and equality, everybody who wants a chance to interview gets one is more fair than the world is today.
So what's the prediction, Mike, on the allowance of that? Right. So for instance, we've got, you know, right now when you call to get tech support, right, your cable's out or you got a call about your mobile bill or whatever, you typically get the little AI customer service agent that does the and the little typing noises and all of that. So there's a tolerance for that. Right. And some people are just agent, representative. Like they don't even want to deal with that. What's the prediction you think from a candidate perspective on that? Are they just not going to care, or are we going to eat up their time while they have to be in person, but we don't?
Yeah. Actually, I think for us, it's a good thing too, because, you know, when candidate 197 applies and they're an 85% match, now you're going to see it. So it's a win for us too. And it allows us to spend, I think, our time doing the things that a human, and you're going to have to disclose, hi, I'm Mike, I'm a human.
Not I'm a robot. The robot.
4 or 5 years from now, like even now, it's really hard to tell. Like if you listen to some of these chatbots now on phone calls, it's hard to tell it's not a person. So yeah, it's going to be, I think it should be a law. It should be illegal to make, you know, artificial people. It should be illegal. And you should have to disclose it. Otherwise, we're going to lose track of what's real, real fast. Real, real fast. This is actually one of the real dangers to our civilization about AI. The ability to tell what's real. And because the AI is so good and so convincing, and it's so good at manipulating us, thanks to Gen 1 of AI, social media, which learned how to push our buttons with, 12 pieces of information, this thing's going to be an order of magnitude better. And so, yeah, you're going to have to come on and say, hi, I'm Mike, I'm a human. And it'll be illegal for an AI to say that.
AI is going to be much more consistent in being able to speak to and interview 100, 200 candidates.
1,000, a million.
And convince them that, you know, they're all getting up to bat, that they're all competing fairly for an interview, that the data that's being collected is all consistent across all the people that they're dealing with. I posted a link to a conversation that I imagined a couple months ago. And I'm fully there, Mike. I do think the top of the funnel can change the game for all of us if we used an artificial intelligence to let everybody have an opportunity to get up to bat.
I want to be counterpoint a little bit, because I love the conversation and I love the potential here. If I like what problem would you say that that is solving for? Is it ideal for the employer who can't find the quality candidate in time? So they don't have top of funnel issues. They just have working through top of funnel issues. Or is it solving something else?
Well, it'll solve that too. The thing that's going to happen is it's going to get a lot faster. But like I was reading Recruiting Brain Food the other day with Hung Lee. Mm-hmm. And he was publishing some results about how much better response rates the AI gets than humans already. And it's just a matter of time. It's only going to get better. I would imagine there's going to come a time where an AI has a 90% plus response rate.
I think the data, Chris, is going to be better.
I'm going to challenge that a little bit. I think we have more people willing to use the AI than to try to do outreach on their own. So the assistance, that enablement that comes from somebody who otherwise would not send out 30 inquiries or, you know, 20 outreaches or 100 whatevers, now that there is a tool that they can have the confidence in to use it, we're going to see an increase in that. So it's no wonder we see an increase in the response rate there. I think it primarily also gets used by those who are otherwise not confident enough or don't have the skill set to do an effective outreach or to do an effective engagement.
So this is a little humble pie for me right here. I've been writing professionally for a minute. It's a better writer than I am. It's just better. Consistently. First of all, there's no typos or grammar errors. Let's just get that out of the way right now. And that's 80% of us in this business, ADD. And then, you know, for example, my persona, the one I've programmed, it's able to, you know, write creatively, innovatively, and fast. And this is why I've been able to publish so much more recently, is I now have an AI assistant helping me write. To give you guys an idea of the volume we're talking about, if you take everything that was written by humans from 2022 to the very first thing that was ever written by humans, mm-hmm. in 2023, more was written. In fact, almost 20 times the volume was written in 2023 than in all of human history combined. Wow. So when you increase the noise by that level, but you're also getting your message through more efficiently, that tells me that something serious and significant is going on underneath all that. And through all that noise and all that interaction, the AI is actually improving its ability to communicate with us.
I love that.
So Mike, I believe that. But so Mike, let me ask you, because I want to talk a little bit about ethics here. If you're using AI to write your book, does the AI get a byline anywhere in the book?
It does. If you look at the cover, it's right there. I disclose Mike Wolford, Angie. And yep. If you look at my articles lately, they'll say Mike Wolford and the AI recruiter. I think that's a best practice. It's not a law yet. But when you're generating content with an AI, you should disclose it.
Yeah.
I love that, Mike, especially since we're really looking at the importance of conflict of interest disclosure issues. And so from your perspective, the best way to handle that is really right up front. That would indicate that I wrote this, kind of oversaw it, if you will, but with the assistance and help of artificial intelligence.
And it's, you know, that's why I put the prompts in there specifically, so that you could see how to do it and not just let it be a magic thing, but like figure out how this actually works.
So I think that's right. Right. With this, we have this crazy adoption rate of AI in recruiting. And then as Jerry mentioned, we've got ethical considerations, transparency, disclosure, they keep coming to the forefront. So I guess for you, Mike, my question is, what do you see as the most pressing ethical issue and how should it be addressed? And let's stay in the lane of recruiting, robots walking us like dogs.
I think it's the biggest risk is decision-making, handing over decision-making to the AI. Now, in certain cases, it's already illegal. In GDPR, for example, you can't reject somebody from an application with an AI. That's illegal already. It's been illegal for a while. So from that perspective, I anticipate, you know, to see more laws passed like that. But from an ethics standpoint, the number one thing to think about, in my opinion, is fairness. And what I mean by that is, are you treating everybody the same? If you have an AI phone screener, then actually you probably are, because it's programmed to ask basically the same questions in the same, you know, order, in the same tone of voice. It's effectively as same as you can make it. So for me, I would say the caution isn't, you know, worry about it. Like Glenn Cathy the other day wrote a follow-up article to the one about discrimination from GPT. And if you take out the contact information, like the name and like basically the top of the resume out, that problem goes away. And so that sort of thinking, critical thinking, is what we need to be thinking about. We need to see a problem instead of saying, oh man, that means I can't do it. You know, and honestly, that's what would happen in any case, right? Like I used to send resumes blind when I was in staffing. You didn't put the name or the location, right? You just sent candidate A, right? And here's their education and here's their information, because it's about what their qualifications are. And the AI will take all the data it has and use that to make a decision. And if it has that information, what that is a reflection of is our own bias in the system. It's not the bias of the AI itself. It doesn't have a bias. It doesn't care one way or the other. It's just looking at data and saying, based on the information I have, this bit of information makes it more or less likely that person's going to get hired for this job. Just like classically what happened at Amazon, the AI figured out that women don't get hired as much. So if it thought you were a woman, it just got rid of you. And that's not the AI being biased. That's the AI looking at the data and saying, this is what happens. So that's just a reflection of us. But if you take that system, that information out of the system, and you don't give it to it to begin with, you'll have a lot less problems with bias. And honestly, the way AI moves and how quick it is, we're going to have to come to terms and accept that, because we're not going to be fast. That'll be another bottleneck. If we don't get behind it, it'll be pointless to do it, because you'll just create the bottleneck behind it instead of in front of it.
When I know that, I know, like we half joking, you know, we put this marker 10 years, right? The beginning of the show, we were talking about it. But if you're looking into the future, and you can pick the distance, but what emerging AI tech or emerging AI trend do you think is going to have the most significant impact in TA? Is it the screening? Is it something else where you think recruiters should begin preparing for this, or leaders should start, you know, maybe building in to their strategies, room for these advancements?
We are past that. Yes. What we're going to see now is true automation. This is the next phase in a tools. And so for us, it's a time to be heads up and learn how to use these things, because they're coming, and they're coming fast. There will be a new generation of AI powered everything. And this is the disruption that we've been looking for. So your classical players, they're going to start gobbling up these startup companies in an attempt to stay relevant, because they're going to have a hard time. But the problem is your infrastructure. If you're a massive company that exists in TA today, you have existing expenses, you have existing infrastructure, you have a lot of things that are very expensive and hard to change. And these startup companies are now able to have these same capabilities, but for a fraction of the cost. And they don't have all of those fixed costs weighing them down. So the next generation of tools are going to be a lot less expensive and a lot more powerful, and they're going to be built with AI from the ground up. So this is going to cause, and there's going to be a lot of them. It's going to be kind of fun and kind of painful for us, because we're going to have so much to look at. And also trying to decide, how do we put it all together? You know, how does this work as a tech stack? And that'll be a challenge. But right now, it should be all hands on deck, figuring out what does the new toolkit look like, because you can examine everything. What's your ATS? What's your CRM? What's your HRIS? What tools are you using? What kind of sourcing tools? Do we need LinkedIn anymore? Right? Do we need some of these big expensive tools? Or can AI do a lot of the same work for us? My example is, I have an AI that just finds email addresses. Now, I've been a sourcer for a long time, and I know something that probably everybody else knows but doesn't say out loud. Email addresses are two formats 98% of the time. firstname.lastname@company.com, first initial last name at company.com. It's not rocket science. The AI just is automatically in the background now. Once I put somebody's name and company in, it just spits out possible email addresses. Yeah. Like, this is not rocket science for us, but for some reason, when we have tools, now I guess I'll name them Seek Out, HireEasy, Claro, right? These type of tools, we get lazy and we let it look for the information for us. We forgot we're sourcers and like we're good at that, supposedly. But I, you know, as an agency recruiter, the thing I did eight to nine every morning was I sat at my desk and I made cold calls into Deloitte, right? That's what I did every single day. And that's what sourcers and recruiters do. And we got away from it and we've lost some of our skills there. And actually, ironically, I think this is going to help pick that up because it's a better Boolean string writer than I am anyway. And if it can just, if I can find a candidate and it gives me their name and I can tell them where the company is that they work at, I can get a hold of them. I don't need an expensive in-mail. I don't need an expensive credit from a vendor anymore. I now have an AI that can just tell me, oh yeah, this person, you're looking at them. No, here's probably their email address. I'm going to go validate it for you. Boom. Okay. It's valid. Right. This is much faster. And the automation that we're going to see is the there's two types of tools that are coming for us. Mm-hmm. One is like sourcing matching, which I think is risky. I understand the appeal. Believe me, the very first thing I ever wrote was about how to connect two pieces of information so you can get a full picture of what a candidate actually is doing. So I know that this is a fun problem. I've been working on it for a long time, but I feel like this is risky. It's just a matter of time before somebody says the AI made the decision and it says I wasn't recommended and I'm a really good fit for it. And, you know, they cause havoc. There's people out there who do that on purpose anyway. So it's just a matter of time. So to me, that's a risk, and HR has always been risk averse. But automating your outreach for your email, there's no real risk there. Automating writing your job description, no real risk there. Automating the phone screen, relatively low risk, right? You're not rejecting anybody solely based on that information. You're actually obtaining additional information in order to make a better decision. And so to me, the risky stuff is the decision-making. Do I move forward with this person or not? Mm-hmm. Is this person ranking? I feel like is probably pretty risky, but I think there are going to be tools that will try and do that. My personal recommendation would be to be cautious about those tools and be very, very transparent if you decide to use them. But I think that the low-hanging fruit is the day-to-day minutia that we get tied up in as paperwork. Most of that can be automated. LLMs are awesome at understanding instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you give it an example, one or two examples, that will work. And that's kind of the next generation, these custom tools that are programmable. OpenAI has GPTs. That's the most obvious example. If you're not an engineer, you can build those yourself. But this is the tip of the iceberg. This is the 1980s brick cell phone in the car, right? This is version one. What's coming next is going to be far more. And what's actually coming next is that the AI is starting to build itself. So the data center that Amazon has is largely designed by the AI, which is kind of like designing your own brain. But we're getting to a point now where it's starting to be a better engineer than the humans. And it's starting to take over design of its own systems.
So Mike, we ask at the end of every show, we ask our guests to give us the title of a book if they were going to write one. Now, you've written a few books, so we're not going to ask you that question. We're going to ask you if you were going to write a sitcom, a television sitcom, about this topic that focused on this. You get a whole season. It's been approved. It's been signed off by the bots. What would the title of your sitcom be?
Probably The AI Recruiter, honestly, because that's what's about to happen. I mean, it would be a good show. It'd be a good reality show. It'd follow somebody around who's in an agency and is using, you know, I always thought we'd make a good show, follow an agency recruiters around for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Plenty of drama there. But yeah. This is what the show is about.
So here's your curveball. Who's the celebrity that you pick as your show host?
Ooh, probably right now it'd be Adam Kovics or Robin Choi.
Really?
Yeah. They both would be, first of all, really entertaining, and they know a ton on the subject.
Okay. I love it. Well, look, Mike, I know you're super busy. We appreciate you cutting time out of your schedule to connect with us. We appreciate you sharing the book. Jerry and I both have a copy of it. We really enjoy it. Anybody who wants to get a copy, they can get their own out on, obviously, can get it on Amazon. We'd encourage you to take a look at that. And then, Mike, I hope you have a great rest of your week. And like I said, we're just so much gratitude for popping in with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang out in the green room for 1 second. We're just going to run the bumper and we'll be right back.
Sure.
To everybody else, we'll see you next week. And of course, cxr.org/podcast so you can see past and upcoming episodes. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the CXR channel. Please subscribe to CXR on your favorite podcast resource and leave us a review while you're at it. Learn more about CXR at our website, cxr.works, facebook.com and twitter.com/careercrossroads, and on Instagram @careerxroads. We'll catch you next time.